Today on Real Radio.
God never said, take these Ten Commandments and preach them to the end of the earth, did he? It is absolutely awesome. God is saying there's going to come a time when that is going to be done with, and I'm going to implement an entire new covenant.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. You know, the New Testament contains many promises about assurances and absolute hopes for the true believer that are unique to the Judeo-Christian faith. There are also great comforts, as we're seeing in Pastor Jack's series of lessons taken from a section in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. It's called, Nothing Can Be Greater.
Paul said to the Corinthian believers, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away or fading, how will the ministry of the Spirit not more be glorious? Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. Verse 11, for if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious. Therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadfastly at the end of what was passing away. But their minds were blinded. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. We ought to say amen to that. This is awesome. This is challenging. This is powerful. Nothing can be greater. I don't know about you. Where were you? Do you remember? Were you even born in 1971? I remember this. Listen, that the first time I personally ever encountered a Bible, it was a Bible that we had in our home. Nobody read it. I didn't have a Christian home, but that Bible was from my grandmother. And I remember this. Do you remember this? It was just seconds after 6 a.m. on a Tuesday morning, you know what I'm saying? On February 9th, 1971. Silmar. I was sleeping. I would have been getting up probably at 6 o'clock to get ready for school. I was 13 years old, and the ground shook in Orange County, which was a great distance from that earthquake. The ground shook. I remember jumping out of the bed. Things were falling off of our shelves. I remember running down the hallway and falling down because the hallway was moving as I was running to my parents' bedroom. It was a big one. And I was terrified. School was canceled that day, and people were losing their lives as I was running to my parents' bedroom in the Los Angeles area. People were dying. And during that day, I somehow found a Bible, that Bible, and I took it. Now listen carefully. I took that Bible, and unbeknownst to my family, they still don't know about it, I took that Bible, and I was afraid to go to sleep at night. Have you ever been near or in a big earthquake? It's terrifying at night. It's worse. You don't know what's going to happen, and there's a great amount of aftershocks taking place. And I took that Bible, and I remember it holding it against my chest, and I went to bed, and when I woke up in the morning, I hid it under my bed because I didn't want anybody to think I was scared or a wimp or whatever. But I thought, I had this thought. If I have the Bible next to me, God won't allow me to be killed because I'll have the Bible next to me. Listen, I didn't know what the Bible said. I never opened it. I just thought if I had it near me, I would be saved. Completely knowing that it was important, but completely ignorant of what it said. A lot of people are like that today. They own a Bible, they might even carry a Bible, but they never open the Bible. They're thinking, if I have a Bible, look, I've got a Bible, and I've got a rabbit's foot, I'm good. What evil can befall me? And yet that's not how God works in our lives. You can be associated with so many religious things in life and be completely void and vacant of God in your life. My point is this, things on the external cannot change your life. Things that are outside of the inside of you cannot change you. This is vitally important as you consider this study. In Jeremiah 31:31, we looked at it last time, but it bears repeating today before we dive into the study. Jeremiah 31:31, written nearly 1,000 years before Jesus was born. Keep this in mind. Put yourself in their sandals. Be Jewish for a moment. You've got the law. You've got God on your side. You've got the temple. You've got everything. You are God's people. You've got the priesthood. You've got all of the commandments. You are the voice of God to the world. Jeremiah 31:31 says, "Behold, in light of all that, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord." Any idea what that covenant is, church? The Old Testament covenant, the law, the Ten Commandments, and God's requirements. God says right here in the Old Testament, I'm going to do away someday with my law. This is written in the Hebrew Scriptures. Verse 33, "But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord." Notice, something is going to expire and a new covenant is going to be instituted. "I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God and they shall be my people." That is God's word to the nation of Israel. And by the way, he will fulfill that. He is going to do that. But right now is a time where the dispensation of the church age. And that is also prophesied in Scripture. But notice this. All of the Old Testament, God is saying everything of the old. The giving of the law. The tablets of stone. The priesthood. The tabernacle. The temple. The Ark of the Covenant. Amazing. Think of it all. Was it not glorious? It was glorious. But could it save you? Not one bit. Nowhere in the Old Testament is salvation promised by the keeping of the law. Isn't that interesting? God never said, take these Ten Commandments and preach them to the end of the earth, did he? It is absolutely awesome. God is saying there's going to come a time when that is going to be done with, and I'm going to implement an entire new covenant. Was it glorious? Yes. But was something more glorious coming? Oh, yes. It is a glorious and wonderful thing to consider. Our first point this morning, mark it down if you would. Nothing can be greater than absolute assurance. You see, the Old Testament saints had no assurance if they were going to approach God by the law. Verses 4 to 6, this is what we know, is that it's absolute assurance into the presence of Almighty God. Will you write that down? Nothing can be greater than absolute assurance, Christian, and that is having the assurance of being in the presence of God. Isn't that what you are, as a believer, always yearning for? Listen, as Christians today, we know what the Bible says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. The Bible says our citizenship currently, right now, is with God in heaven. You and I live right here, right now. Frankly, we're supposed to be living right here, right now, to be God's instruments in this earth. But everything about us, as real, true, authentic Christians, is that our minds are in heaven. Our treasures are where? In heaven. Our citizenship, in heaven. We are ministers of what concerns heaven. That is if we're going to be real Christians. We are simply, remember in the hippie days, anybody? That hippie picture of the guy standing there with the peace sign and it says, just passing through. We are just passing through. As Christians, we're just passing through this world. Absolute assurance is what's promised in the gospel. The Old Testament saints only had a deep... Listen, are you listening? I'm so excited about this message. The Old Testament saints only had assurance of God's presence if they knew the word carefully, understanding what the word of God said, that they experienced a New Testament relationship in the Old Testament economy. Abraham. Was Abraham justified by the law? Was Abraham justified by tithing? Was Abraham justified by working in the children's ministry? Surely that's going to get you into heaven. No. Abraham was justified by faith in God. Exactly how you are today. David, did David walk around saying, hey, God, look, I kept your law. I'm right on. No, David cried out. And David had a relationship with God. Was David a sinner, church? Did David blow it? I don't know how many people you've murdered or how many people you've slept with, but David messed up. And God, yet God says, he's a man after my own heart. Why? What was going on? Inside David's life, he knew, he understood, and had an understanding of a relationship with God that was living in the presence of Almighty God and accepted based on God's love, not on performance. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you can go out and sin up a storm and God accepts you. This was an exception in David's life, and it was an exception in Abraham's life when he blew it. They practiced the presence of God because they loved the presence of God. How did that happen? Because what God was got inside their hearts. And when Moses saw the glory of God in the burning bush, what happened to him? He longed, he yearned to draw closer to God. The experience that he had only excited him to pursue God more. And every Christian I'm speaking to right now this morning knows this. They've got Christ, they've got heaven, they're en route, and they love the Lord, but there's this dichotomy where we are grieved that we don't love the Lord more, and we ask God, please, God, have me to love you more. We obey him, but we want to obey him more. And listen, we've got him, but we want more of him. You know what I'm talking about? It's amazing. We are completely satisfied and we're starving at the same time. We are thirsty and yet we are satisfied, but we thirst all the more. Why? Because we have gotten a taste and a drink of God and we are completely satisfied in this life, but we will not be complete totally. We know this until we awake in his presence, in his likeness. God bless you. I'll see you later. I mean, what is that? What's more than that? It's absolutely exciting to know. The presence of Almighty God. Verse 4, he says, and we have such trust through Christ. Circle the word through Christ. Circle the word toward God. And we have such trust through Christ toward God. Verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. It's all through Christ. Here's Paul, a Jew, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, circumcised on the eighth day from the tribe of Benjamin. Regarding the law, Paul was blameless. He had more zeal than all of his Jewish brothers in the ministry. Nobody could come close to Paul. And what is Paul saying? I have been, and we have been as believers, revealed to the presence of God through Jesus Christ. It's not any of our efforts. It's not any of our works. It's not any of our righteousness of our own. It is absolutely liberating. The word through here is a word that means as a highway or a thoroughfare, to come and go on the same route, like an interstate or a freeway. The word means an ongoing occasion, listen, an ongoing occasion to traffic back and forth into the presence of God and into this world. Paul is saying that we knew of God. We knew about God in the old economy, in the Old Testament. We had, as it were, the Bible near us, but we didn't have it in us. But it wasn't until we knew God through Jesus Christ that everything changed. Listen, my friends, just get this down in your mind. The Bible teaches you cannot know God the Father without going through God the Son. Jesus is the door. He is the way into the everlasting presence of God. That's why Jesus said in John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. This is his word. Jesus is the great door that leads us into the presence. He understood that Jesus Christ was that promised great high priest, that there would be no earthly priesthood that could satisfy ultimately. He knew that he was Israel's deliverer, that is Jesus, that he knew that Jesus was the Son of God. Why? How did Paul know this? And what was his great power and his great boldness and his great trust? Because the scriptures, church, listen, the scriptures are fulfilled in the New Testament. What is concealed in the Old Testament, what is concealed in the Old Testament is revealed in the New Testament. The Bible says in Psalm 34, verse 8, taste and see that the Lord is good. I read this little statement from J. Vernon McGee. You got to love that guy. He's always so colorful. He put it this way. It's been said that the proof is in the pudding. Well, God put it this way. Taste and see that the Lord is good. I like that context. Listen, my grandson right now, he's got mama's milk. I mean, that's all he gets. He's not old enough yet. But my granddaughter, last night, she had a waffle with whipped cream on the top. And she saw it. Mommy put it down in front of her, and this is what happened. She goes just like this with her tongue. And then she touches it, and she goes, delicious. And it's funny because she had this big waffle and a little bit of whipped cream, and she took that whole waffle, and she kept saying, more cream, more cream. And I like that. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And once you taste of him, isn't that your cry? More of the Lord, more of the Lord, more of God. I've got to get more of God. And you'll pursue him. You'll long after him. You'll seek for him. More of God. The Old Testament saints, if they were to approach, or I should say the Old Testament believer, if they didn't come to the knowledge of what God was really saying in the Old Testament, there was the frustration of these animal sacrifices. Look, to a non-believer today, an animal sacrifice sounds gross in the Western world. To a Christian in this age, it's unnecessary. In the Old Testament, it was a necessary nuisance. Because listen, you made an offering. Think about it. You went and made an offering for your sins, and you took a dove and you had it offered, and you walked down the street, you're leaving the temple, and you're going, and you go across the Kidron Valley, and drives by in their brand new donkey, splashes mud all over your robe, and you say, you know, something like, you meathead! Oh, excuse me, I need another dove. Thank you. Okay, I'll be right back. And you had to go make sacrifice. Constantly having to go back, constantly with blood. What was God saying? He announced to them in the very beginning that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It could only cover it. He was setting them up. He was setting them up to know the greatest revelation that the world would ever know. That Jesus Christ is the fulfillment who brings absolute assurance and gives us advent into the presence of God. He says in verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves. Paul is saying nobody can earn such assurance. The word sufficient is a tremendous word that means this, that none of us can be able, listen, talented enough or skilled enough to earn God's access. Well, Billy Graham, he's led millions of people to Christ. He's going to go to heaven because of that, right? No. Well, Chuck Smith has been the agent by which more churches have been planted around the world, more than any other known individual in church history, right? Is that how he's going to go to heaven, right? No. J. Vernon McGee, the most listened to Christian radio broadcast around the world. Is that how McGee got to heaven? He's there now, you know. A lot of people don't realize he's dead. He's there. Actually, he's more alive now than he ever was here on earth. It's not how you get to heaven. Paul is saying, wow, through Christ, we have this access toward God. And it's all about Jesus. Christianity is not a higher level of realization. Christianity is not a higher plane by which your life can be lived. If your New Year's resolution is, I'm going to be a Christian and live a good life, what is today, the 13th or 15th or whatever it is, you should have by now greatly disappointed yourself. It doesn't happen that way. You cannot sign up for Christianity and say, I'm going to just better myself. Nope. It doesn't work that way. Christianity is something that unless the Holy Spirit is living it inside of you out, whatever your other approach to what is called Christianity is of yourself will be a great hindrance to your salvation. The danger about you and I trying to earn some position with God is that we begin to believe our own propaganda. My, aren't I something? Oh, look at me. Why can't more people be like me? And we become a legend in our own mind. Somebody will say, Pastor, all this is fine, but I keep the golden rule. Do you know? I don't think so. Listen to what Paul the Apostle said in Philippians 3, verse 2. Listen to this. This is properly placed sufficiency. He said in verse 2, which is great, beware of dogs. He's not talking about puppies. He's not talking about dogs. Dogs was a word for legalist. Dogs. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. Do I need to expound on that? Beware of those who say, believe in Jesus, but you got to be circumcised. Paul called them the mutilation. Yikes! For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Do you guys all hear the difference here? He has no confidence in the flesh, but he has absolute bold assurance before the presence of God. And yet he's not trusting in his own efforts. Though I also, verse 4, might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is of the law, blameless. Wow. But look at verse 7.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a presentation called Nothing Can Be Greater, it's a lesson taken from a section in Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians, chapter 3. Nothing Can Be Greater. It's really a series within a series and part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse exploration of this letter, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've told you all about our free app for your smartphone or tablet, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs smartphone app. Real Life with Jack Hibbs also happens to be the name of one of our television programs, and you can certainly visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, that's reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and watch that program online. But you can also watch the television program right there at your smartphone or tablet through the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. So just another reason to download it, the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. Just go to your app store for Real Life with Jack Hibbs, the free app for your smartphone or tablet. Of course, to learn more, you can always visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.